Okay, hello everyone, welcome to Radio Free Nintendo, episode 119. We have quite a special show this week. Unfortunately, Greg Leahy could not be here. He's quite wrapped up in Monday Night Football, as are, you know, most Britons this time of the year, I guess. But in his stead, we have a very special guest, first time on the show, Mr. James Charlton.
Hey, hey, nice to be here.
There you go. James is, as you might notice, an Englishman, but he's currently living in Japan, and he is our Japan correspondent for Nintendo World Report, and he went to TGS last week, so he's going to fill us in later on the show on all the crazy stuff that he saw there.
I will.
Right?
I will do indeed.
Right. And, of course, we also have John Lindemann.
Hi.
And our podcast producer, James Jones.
Oh, you got the title now.
Nice. Good job, James.
Well, that's what you are, man. Maybe if I make it sort of official sounding, you'll, like, really try hard.
Oh. Oh, F you. All right, Johnny's editing this week's episode.
I'm just joshing you, dog.
Nope, it's done. It's set in stone.
I'll just hand it to Carl, and then you'll complain about the editing quality.
No,
so.
Evan will complain about the editing quality. I don't give a damn. I don't have to edit it.
Some people in the forums might, too. We do appreciate Carl's help when he offers it, though. So anyway, we're going to start with new business. It's going to be a short segment this week. That's a promise on my part for James's sake. James Jones. JJ. We're going to have JC and JJ.
It's gonna get confusing.
Okay.
Yep, it's a boy band. It's a boy band already.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Take that. So
we got JJ and JC,
anyway,
right?
Can I be JL?
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that
can be JM.
Well, then why is he
the four J's? Come on. The four J's. We could take this shit on the road.
Yeah, or we could be called the JX's.
Oh.
Yeah.
The J-Men.
Or the OJ's.
How's that?
There you go.
The J-Men. That's right. Well, that sounds like a villain in an NES game. It sounds like the villain in Golgo 13. ... So anyway, we're going to do a short new business. Primarily, you want to hear from JC because we never had him on the show before, so we want to learn a little bit more about what he's playing. But also, it's been probably 3 weeks since we successfully got a new business up on the internet for you guys to listen to. So, you know, we'll try to update you a little bit. On what we've been doing, but James, JC, mm-hmm. you've heard the show before, right? I mean,
yeah.
You kind of know the format.
Big fan.
Okay, well, why don't you start us off then, since you're the guest?
Well, I have quite an interesting title because it's an arcade title. Have you ever done that on the show before?
Like an actual arcade?
Yeah.
Not like you went to an arcade
yes.
to play it? Oh, wow.
Yes,
no,
an arcade.
I
thing.
Haven't been to an arcade myself in quite
it's
a
all
long
mine
time.
Closed.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They're kind of hard to find
actually,
in America
no,
these days.
Way back we had the Mario Kart arcade game. Before
oh,
arcade.
Oh, that was terrible. I didn't like that.
I've heard bad things
I'm sorry,
about it.
Did you like that game?
I didn't play it. That was before us.
Okay.
I think
I've never even seen it in person.
It wasn't very good. It was just very boring.
Yeah, there's two correctly. Now. There's a sequel here in Japan. I don't know about the
really?
States. Yeah.
Wow.
And that is equally
wow.
terrible.
Good.
Yeah.
So what did you play in the
so
arcade?
In the arcades, I played Rhythm Tengoku, which is, as you know, is the GBA/DS game. And
Rhythm Heaven.
Yeah, Rhythm Heaven. Sorry, yeah,
yeah.
Rhythm Heaven.
I didn't know that was in the arcades at all.
Yeah, yeah. There is an arcade version.
There is an arcade version.
Wow.
I stumbled
we
upon
it. We
read
a story on it, Johnny.
Yeah, I saw
James,
it.
James, what the hell was that, dude? JJ.
What?
What? You're just like... What did you say?
I said we ran a story on it, Johnny.
Oh, on the arcade version?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess I missed it. Sorry. I was too busy writing reviews.
Did we do an article on Rhythm Heaven arcade?
I do believe we did one saying that it exists.
Okay.
You probably wrote it, JC.
Well, I took some pictures of the arcade unit. I was thinking about doing some impressions of it. And having, mm-hmm. like, photos of the actual arcade cabinet. I thought it might be interesting to people.
That does actually sound interesting. So how
yeah.
is it played?
So the actual controller on the arcade unit looks exactly like a GBA, like, button layout. It's kind of weird. They've got, like, these huge buttons which represent the D-pad. Like the like the size of your fist kind of size, yeah.
Sweet.
And then they've got two huge A and B buttons, like where you would find it. And, wow. Yeah, and it plays exactly like the GBA game, except on an arcade unit. It's kind of bizarre.
I wonder if you could load in different ROMs on that machine and play stuff like Castlevania Circle of the Moon with that controller.
Probably
you're, like, just
not.
Punching
I,
on
I
the
would
buttons.
Guess not,
and...
yeah. It's a Nintendo Sega published arcade unit. It's got both Nintendo and Sega on the top. And the graphics are pretty much exactly like the DS game. So imagine the DS screen blown up to a huge arcade cabinet size.
That couldn't look bad at all.
Lovely.
Yeah, it looks kind of terrible, but it's more for just, like, you know, it's arcade fun, right? Something you play. It's a two-player arcade, and you stand next to each other when you play. And, yeah, but it looks pretty much like a GBA game.
Which is funny, because if it's Nintendo and Sega, it almost certainly runs on the Triforce arcade hardware.
Yeah.
Which is a GameCube.
I don't know about that.
Well,
the Triforce is kind of old technology.
It's the GBA.
How
sophisticated does it need to be?
Well, it may not actually need the Triforce hardware. I mean, that may be a little too much.
Crazy.
You know?
Get a little crazy with the
a
Triforce.
A little excessive.
On that one.
Yeah. There was a bit of slowdown when more than two characters went on screen.
That's ridiculous.
Oh, dear.
I kid. It was fine.
Good.
It was fine. So the game...
I believed you, actually, so...
the game that I played was... Have you played... Have any of you guys played Rhythm Tengoku? Rhythm Heaven?
Yes.
Okay. I think I played it for 2 seconds at E3.
I quested to get perfects on everything.
Okay, so you're a master at it.
No, I said I quested. I didn't say I actually did it.
Okay, well, do you remember the, like, karate... punching game, like,
yes.
Things come past.
Pounce!
That's the one.
Yes.
Yeah, I played
yes.
that one. And do you know the... It sounds so weird when you describe these games. Do you remember the game where you pluck hairs off an onion's face?
Yes, as it moves around, yes. Yes, I recall that game. I remember it pissing me off because I'd always miss it. It would, like, irritate his skin.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
It sounds like Parappa the Rapper kind of
yeah,
stuff.
It does
weird.
Look
it
like that.
Weird.
It does look like
does.
Parappa the Rapper.
It does.
Yeah. So you have to press the A button as this I don't know what you call it, like a plucker goes past his hairs, and you have to tap it to pull the hairs out of his face. And it took me ages to work out that the longer hairs, you have to, like, hold down the buttons. So I kept on, like, failing because, like, I couldn't pull the really long hairs out of his face.
So this is an onion.
This is a hairy onion.
Onions are known for their overbearing facial hair.
I'm just trying to follow along at home.
John, you went to college. Haven't you seen hairy onions?
Always.
Oh, okay.
Sounds
like
there.
A euphemism there. Yeah,
he did.
All right, so James, have you played anything else lately? I mean, are you playing any, like, weird Japanese stuff on your Wii or your DS?
No, nothing too weird. I downloaded Super Mario RPG on the Wii, and that's not that weird, is it?
No,
a little bit.
It's been discussed quite a bit, although I can't remember if any of it actually made it onto the episodes. But yeah,
I've never played Super Mario RPG before because, as Greg may have told you, it was never released in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
It was we got shafted big time on that one. Same for Chrono Trigger, right? So I'd never played it. So I'm really liking it. It's really good, and yeah, I would have no idea why they didn't release it in the UK back in whenever it was released. Awesome.
Hatred, game. Pretty much. Yeah.
Yeah.
We could ask the same thing about Terranigma.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, take that.
You didn't get that?
that's like the one game we didn't get. But it's like, meanwhile,
yeah,
Europe,
it's pretty much
Europe,
the
Europe
only
didn't
game.
Get about, like, you know, five
Which
or ten
game
classic
this?
Games.
Terranigma. It's the pseudo quasi sequel to Illusion of Gaia.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and it's very good. I've played it through other means,
less than legal
but,
methods.
It's quite good. I didn't get far enough to really totally get into it because I just don't like playing games on a computer. I don't like playing like Super Nintendo games on a computer. But it's pretty interesting. And it was sort of like a really late Super Nintendo title, so it has nice graphics, nice music, you know. So it seems like a very good candidate for Virtual Console one day, and then probably we'll finally get to see it in the States.
Yeah, I really liked Illusion of Gaia. That was great.
Yeah, me too. I played the crap out of that one. We did get that one at least.
Yeah. Wow, I did not know that. I never imagined there would be a game that the Europeans got and you didn't.
Well, yeah, that, it's now like there's the only non-soccer title.
Yeah, now we have Disaster Day of Crisis.
Yep, it's the next tragedy.
You can keep that
Terracaya and Disaster Day of Crisis.
Are you staying awake at night, James, because of that?
Nightmares, every day.
You just want to punch bears in the face and run away from lava.
Yes, I want to punch bears in the face while running away from lava.
Mm-hmm. Don't we all?
Yeah. I mean, if you don't have a soul. I mean, honestly.
Road trip, anybody? Let's go to, like, you know, let's go to the nearest state park and find a bear. And just
the nearest state park with a volcano.
Yeah. Costa Rica or something like that? Maybe Puerto Rico or something? I don't know. Let's try.
Hawaii.
Bring your own bear.
Yeah.
Hawaii has Volcano National Park.
It's my turn.
I've been there. It's awesome.
But does it have bears?
It looks like no. Friggin' Mordor. It's the coolest place I've ever been. Like, you go to this cliff, and you're, like, looking out over the cliff, and it looks like Mordor.
Wow.
It gave me chills. It looks like a shot directly out of the movies, really. It's pretty crazy. It's just like, I can't believe I'm on the same planet as this. Anyway, if you're ever in the islands, you really should check out Volcano National Park. It's insane.
If people have just tuned in, we should point out this isn't a National Geographic podcast.
Not yet.
Give us time.
Yeah, I'm not too concerned about people turning on a podcast and just casually skipping over the first 15 minutes and being like, oh, what the hell are they talking about?
I don't know. I do that when I'm editing sometimes.
It shows. All right, so
Hey-o!
So JC, yeah. I don't suppose you've played any of the I don't suppose you've played Disaster or Fatal Frame or any of the like recent Wii games that we haven't gotten a chance to play yet.
I haven't played those. No, not yet.
Well, I mean, what region are your system?
Well,
your DS
yeah, that's the thing. My Wii is actually a US Wii, and
of course, he's an Englishman living in Japan. He has a US Wii.
It all makes sense.
It's obvious when you think about it, right?
The region where it's actually the most difficult to get one, he went and procured one.
Yeah, I spent quite a lot of money importing that. But at the time, it was impossible to get a Japanese Wii anyway, so it was actually easier to just, you know, order one off the internet and get it from the States. But can I please explain why I have a US Wii so people don't think I'm mental?
I think you're already past that. You can go ahead and try.
Don't worry. We had Greg trying to explain why he imported all these consoles for literally about 20 episodes now, so you're good. Go ahead.
We have Greg sending us emails about why he can't record on Monday nights because he has to watch football.
See, you're fine.
Okay.
Yeah. Go ahead and explain.
Well, it was because, you know, for example, Metroid Prime Corruption only came out like yesterday in Japan. And
wow,
I would have had to
That's
wait
sad.
That amount of time to play it. So this just like, you know, same for other things. I didn't want to have to wait for like, you know, Western style games that long in Japan. So I just got the US Wii. And I foolishly thought that there would be a freeloader or some kind of hack to let you play any region games in the future. So I thought, oh, I'll be okay.
There was one if you had bought a European Wii.
Right, and the freeloader came out,
I thought the freeloader...
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it does let you play like Japanese games on your US Wii.
I thought it was.
It did, but then Nintendo updated it. Yeah, and they fixed in inverted commas the so it wouldn't run it. Yeah.
Yes.
So back to square one.
I guess so. Yeah, I mean if you bought Smash Brothers, then yeah, you can't use it anymore. Greg still hasn't. I think Greg still has his US Wii where he doesn't have Smash Brothers.
I think he
bought the European version of Smash Brothers for his European Wii, so that he wouldn't have to invalidate his freeloader for the US Wii, or something like that.
I thought it was that he went and he put it in there and saw that the save wasn't compatible, or something crazy like that.
Yeah.
Basically, Nintendo making it as hard as possible for you to enjoy yourself.
Of course.
Import this.
All right. So, James Jones, why don't you go next with your new business?
I'm going to keep this short, as was our objective. Right, I've talked about this game once before, but it was lost to the void. I believe this loss wasn't my fault. I think this was a different time we lost everything. But so I've been playing for review for about 3 weeks now. SimCity... Oh my god, I don't even remember what SimCity it is.
Creator,
yes. And there's a reason I can't remember what SimCity it is. It is so boring. Honestly.
See, the whole thing, if I could just break in here, James, it's pretty funny because it just seems like the more you hate a game, the longer time you spend playing it.
No, seriously,
it's actually remarkable.
This is as opposed to John Lindemann, whereas the more time you spend playing the game, the more time it takes you to review it. I guess that's the only way.
The more time you spend playing the game, the less likely it is he'll actually finish the review.
Aha, yes, that's also a good
one. The world is a crazy place.
But see, the thing is, I haven't actually invested a whole lot of time in the game because I keep fucking falling asleep. I am not kidding. At no point in my life had I ever fallen asleep playing a game. It has happened 3 times playing SimCity Creator.
Yeah, it's called narcolepsy. Wow.
3 individual times have I fallen asleep.
You should try crystal meth.
I might have to. This game is just boring. All right. So, I mean, part of the game is they included all these really, really, you know, unique disaster scenarios. So a lot of them have Waggle involved.
Great. Waggle to destroy your city.
Yes, exactly.
Well, I saw one Waggle at E3 where you're, like, tilting the controller to control this giant boulder.
Yeah, that's one of them.
I mean, that's not what I would call Waggle. Waggle is where you just, like, randomly wave the controller for no good reason.
One of them, for example, is Lightning Strike. You have to shake the remote as fast as you can to cause lightning bolts to smash into the ground.
Okay, that's
That's Waggle. That is fucking Waggle.
Yeah, that's
pretty Waggle.
There's one where, like, you have to... What was it? Like, you have to make... What was it? Just like, this jackhammer that comes out of nowhere, just out of the sky, and you...
The jackhammer of God.
Yes, and you shake the remote, and
that's my favorite natural
the
disaster.
Thing to, like, boom, 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 as it goes across the ground. And one of them is God himself. You shake it, and a giant hand comes down and smashes the city. These would all be cool if it weren't for the fact that it takes forever to do anything in that game. Literally, I put about... maybe 7 hours into my city before it was even big enough to merit destroying.
I have a question, James. Like,
yes.
I've never really got into any SimCity games, but what the hell is the point of destroying your city? If you spent ages to build it, why would you have all these amazing ways to destroy it?
Because in some earlier SimCity games, it didn't take that long to build a city. Mm-hmm. So you could... It's sort of like... when a child builds a castle out of building blocks.
And you just want to smash
it. Or sand. The end result is either they're going to smash it or somebody else is going to. They'll put infinite amounts of time just to see them, something they created get blasted into oblivion.
Right.
But doesn't the game sort of direct you to destroy your city after some point? Like, it's one of the missions that they give you?
There's a mission mode, and a lot of the missions are ridiculous. And one of the ones I cited in our previous segment on this was I had to increase the population, so I just built a bunch of sports arenas and called it a day. And everybody was happy. So the team had like 18 football teams, but damn it, everyone was happy. So the city literally...
But there are a lot of hooligans, though.
The city literally had the NFC in it.
So people were repopulating inside a football stadium.
Exactly.
Brilliant.
Oh, it's like Katrina.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, my God.
That's tasteless. That is a new low of tasteless.
What's tasteless is that they're still playing football in that building. I'm really amazed that they didn't tear it down. Yeah. I mean, people died. People were born and died in the Superdome after Katrina, mm-hmm. and like 3 months later, they're playing football in there yep. again. Like, it just blows my mind. It's just such a horrific wow. place in history now. Why wouldn't you just tear it down and build something else? You'd create a lot more jobs that way. Anyway.
Well, like, there's not a construction issue there as it is. But,
yeah, well.
The game, it's just, you know, there is one mission, for example, where the mission is destroy every building in this city we pre-built for you. And it is. They drop that giant steel ball on the ground, and you roll it around with the Wii remote.
Which, is that fun?
That's fun. Or? That's fun. That is a lot of fun. But
it looked fun at
E3. Yeah, that is fun, but that's just one mission. There's mm-hmm. eight starting missions, and seven of them are boring as hell. one of them, I'm convinced, is physically impossible. Because it's get congestion down to, like, really low. But for whatever reason, my subways become congested. So my roads are congested. I built subways, and then nobody used the fucking roads
anymore.
I'm
not sure how rail systems become congested.
Huh?
I'm not sure how rail systems can become
congested. I don't know, but what happened is apparently everyone abandoned the roads and took to the subway. Mm. I'm like, come on, moderate, you jackasses.
So it turned into Tokyo then.
Yes, exactly. There were roads that nobody used. It was mind-blowing. I'm like, no, this is so there's this, they have all these like maps and things, and you can see what's going on. You can like look at congestion levels, for example, is one of the things you can look at. And like all my subways were bright red and my roads were just completely clear. I'm like, what are you doing? Buy a fucking car.
But James.
What?
Don't you like the fact that you can draw roads with the pointer?
No.
That was the number one feature that was marketed
They're
to me
wrong.
At E3 by the representative.
They should have never mentioned that feature.
Exclusive because... to Wii.
I didn't understand how it really added a whole lot to the game.
Exclusive to the Wii, we broke SimCity. All right, SimCity up till now has been grid-based, so it was very easy to lay out a nice orderly city. It's still grid-based, but the roads completely ignore the grids. So you can have the roads cut through grids, even if you don't intend for them to, just slightly ping the corner, and you can't zone that area now.
So what so kind of people would like this game? Is this like for kids, or is this for like?
Well, I think it's kind of for kids, because like you can hire an advisor and just drop them in the middle of nowhere, and they'll build and they'll zone things and stuff will happen in their little zone, and they generally speaking really suck at it, but they'll do it. And you can just sort of watch them go. But
right.
it's dumbed down.
So your definition of a kid's game is one that plays itself.
Yes.
You don't have to play it.
I don't think I would agree with that.
It's dumbed down and yet not, if that makes sense. Like, it's more complicated in some respects because you do have to do things like manage like garbage and all these things that weren't really in the original SimCity games, which is what I thought was going to be like the original SimCity with some updated graphics and like... me-like characters. And it is, except for the fact you have the Wii remote that sort of floats around the screen and makes your roads all funky. But...
Are you still having a problem, like, moving the camera?
The camera still, like, flings around on its own sometimes. Yeah, it is quite obnoxious. But it's become more an issue just trying to get the road straight in the zone. You basically can't use the curved road tool, the freehand road they were trying to sell you on, because you will literally rape everything around it. You have to use the straight road tool and have these, like, straight laid out roads like you're building an Inca city. And just horizontal, 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 vertical, 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 vertical. If you don't want to waste all your land on roads, it's really obnoxious.
Did you hear that, kids? Pre-order now. SimCity Creator.
Exactly.
Only for the week.
He doesn't have to pre-order. It's been out for a month.
No, it hasn't. It's been out for a week and a half.
You actually
but I'm sure
you got
it's
it
hard
early?
To find.
I didn't get a copy of it. I got essentially a disc in a jewel case.
Oh, nice!
So we didn't really
That's
get
unusual.
A review. Yeah, but it was I was so hell bent on getting the review out before it came out, but I kept falling asleep, so it didn't happen.
Okay, well,
yeah,
that's enough of that game. I think
boring.
So, John, why don't you go next?
All right. Of course, I've been playing some Little Big Planet, which is excellent. I alluded to that at the end of the last show, if that show actually.
Yeah, but tell us. Really tell us about it this time, because I want to hear.
Okay.
I want to hear you talk about it.
The best way, you know, I've had to describe it, because everybody's curious about it, so I've had to describe it to a couple of people over the past week or so. The best way I would describe it is it's like It is a new Super Mario with a level editor, pretty much. And that's it in a nutshell. You know, it's like a 2.5D platformer. But it's just really, really well done. And the editor is really, really powerful. I mean, you can do all kinds of stuff. I mean, it's really easy to use. And the way it introduces it to you is, like, there's a one-player game that you can actually, not even a one-player game. There's actually, you can play through it online. You can play through it offline with, you know, several friends. I think pretty much every way you can play the game, you can play with, I think, up to four players. And that even goes for creating your little Big Planet levels as well. So you and a friend.
With four people at the same time, that just sounds like a mess.
Well, the thing is, I think what it does is it zooms out, because you can zoom out and zoom in. So I'm assuming that you would probably, I mean, I haven't seen it in action, but I would assume that you would just zoom out the level, because you actually get quite a big play field to play around on and, you know, set stuff up. I agree.
I'm remembering now that you can't do that online. They're going to patch it in after the game comes out.
Okay.
There was some big scandal about they had to take the online co-op level editing out of the initial release, and they're going to have to add it back in later because it's not ready.
Yeah. Okay.
So that's probably why we haven't heard as much about it, because people haven't really been able to try it out.
Yeah, but I mean, you can do it in the beta version, though. You can create levels and do all that stuff. And again, yeah, the editor is very powerful. You can do a lot with it, and it's very easy to use. And it's, I think, probably the most impressive thing to me about it is the way that they actually train you to use it. It's done with a lot of, you know, a lot of humor. Every single type of thing that you can do has, like, a tutorial attached to it. And so before you do something, you're given a full tutorial. And, I mean, if you look at some of the stuff that people have created online, it's crazy the kind of stuff you can do.
I saw the Mario level.
Yeah.
It wasn't that good, to be honest.
Well, it really depends.
There's
on...
There's probably a bunch of them.
I mean, it depends. I mean, you can make... The thing is, you can take pictures with the PS3 camera and, you know, map them onto polygons and stuff like that. So, I mean, you can absolutely... It's within your power to make something that's just absolutely hideous and completely amateur. But the actual...
What you do every day?
But yeah, but I mean the stuff that's been done. I mean the canned levels that are included in there are beautiful. The textures
is
are
the Shadow
amazing.
Of the Colossus level, is that a preloaded one, or was that somebody made that one?
Yeah, that's a created level.
Oh wow, that was pretty good. I like that one.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I haven't gotten too much into that kind of stuff, because you have to actually, before all the online stuff is unlocked, you have to play through four of the single player levels. But yeah, but it's really good. The one complaint I've heard from people is that, you know, the jumping is kind of floaty. And I didn't really find that.
I was going to ask you about that.
I mean, I didn't really have a problem with that at all. The only thing that gets kind of weird is on the, I guess, the Z-axis, because you have kind of like a foreground, middle ground, and background. Like every stage is kind of three levels deep, depending on how far away you are from the camera. And so you'll see that when you're creating too, is you have the option of putting things in the foreground, middle ground, or background. And so that's kind of weird when you're actually going through and jumping around, because what'll happen is you'll be on a platform that's in the foreground, and then you have to jump to the middle ground, then you have to jump to the background, and sometimes if you're jumping across, like, say, three platforms going from the background to the foreground, it gets kind of weird. You just kind of have to keep track.
Actually, I have a question regarding that. Mm-hmm. Is there depth control as you move the character, or does it just change planes automatically as you move forward?
It's kind of a mix of the two, because if you, like, there are certain times it kind of sticks you at a certain plane. It kind of figures it out for you, but then if you're also, say, if you're in the middle ground, if you want to jump to the foreground, you can also, like, push the stick towards you and then hit the jump button, and it'll, like, switch planes for you. Like, it'll, you know... Like, okay. So you kind of have to keep track of it. It's kind of weird.
So it is a little more complicated than, like, a Mario game.
Yeah.
A 2D Mario game.
Absolutely.
You're working on, it's more like, maybe more like the Wario Land for Virtual Boy, actually. Mm-hmm. Where there you had two different layers of depth. You had one foreground, one background.
Mm-hmm.
And you had different ways of getting back and forth between them.
Yeah, like, you definitely have to keep track of where you are. in terms of, you know, how you compare to other things.
I have a question about the, like, the 2.5D kind of thing. Like, if you're going along, say, like, a really thin platform, if you pushed down, would you walk towards the camera and then, like, fall off?
No.
Do you know what I mean?
No.
Like, you would never do that. It would stick you on that plane along with the platform, right?
So you can't... Okay, if you're like, so if you're in the middle ground, so are you saying if you're, I mean, if you're on a platform, I mean, it depends, because remember the platforms, they can be, there's kind of like, it's like, you know, you can have like a width of 3, if you will. And okay. So
let me rephrase the question, yeah. John. If you push down, does the character crouch or does he change depth?
He moves towards you, so he changes depth.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, so it is 3D control.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
That made the game 3D.
Okay.
Yes.
Yes. Absolutely.
Okay. See, I wasn't very clear on that from the videos, so that's really interesting. That's going to make it more difficult to design levels, I think.
Well,
Infinitely.
Well, yeah, it does, but it also, I mean, it lets you do more within a level.
Sure.
You know, because you can, I mean, you can have.
But it's the difference between designing a 2D thing and a 3D thing. I mean, it's an order of magnitude more difficult to place things in three dimensions than it is two.
Yeah, well, what I mean, the way they set it up is like a typical puzzle will be like in the one level, it has you hop on a skateboard, and it sets you up.
Yeah, that looks cool.
Yeah, you come up to a little gate, and then it's like, you know, a clock shows up, and you race to see the to get the quickest time down. But that's an example of the skateboard is in the foreground, and then you have like a little billboard in the background with something on it. But like that's the thing. But one of the design elements is that, and I think one of the reasons why they have that depth is because what they do is they hide items that you can use when you construct. So you know, like you can use stickers, to you can put stickers on things, and then also things that you can do when you construct your own levels. They hide it behind like items, like, you know, they hide items behind stuff in the background, so you can actually, so if you have the three layers of depth, there'll be something on the middle ground, but then you can go behind to the background and go behind it and find something that's hidden back there. So it's part of it's kind of worked into the whole collecting.
It's almost like Super Paper Mario.
Yeah, a little bit. It's very much like that.
Okay. It also, well, I don't want to get into the minutia of level design in a game that most of us can't play yet, but
yeah,
it reminds me
a game that makes me want to get a PS3, but I'm definitely going to wait at least a year until a price drop and some other stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it really is.
I saw that at TGS as well. It looked pretty good. They had a great booth at TGS as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny you should mention that. I mean, I just saw a commercial for it, which is really the first notable Sony commercial I've seen in a long time. So they really are marketing it heavily.
Since the freaky baby.
Yeah.
That was the last one I saw. But I don't have cable anymore.
That was
so
weird.
Yeah.
I never know about commercials these days.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's a game that will do well in Japan because it has a very Japan-friendly aesthetic to it. You know, it's very, very cute, very kawaii. It's a kind of game. It's like a genre of game that Japanese players know extremely well. So I don't see any reason why it shouldn't do really well in Japan. And PS3 is somewhat popular in Japan.
Yeah.
Probably a little more than it is in America.
Well, it's interesting because as soon as I started playing it, it's interesting. It's very unique on the platform because it's really the only Nintendo-style game on the PS3. And by that I mean, the whole thing is focused on just being fun, kind of, not offensive, cute, but kind of funny at the same time, you know, a lot like a Super Paper Mario, one of those games, where, you know, it's just kind of fun. It's very, you know, it's very easy to get into.
Originally, it was going to be on a Nintendo platform, right? They approached Nintendo, and they weren't interested.
Yeah. I don't know why
I think
they
that story is somewhat apocryphal, but it'd be interesting. Maybe after the game's out, they'll be able to talk and give you a little more detail.
Can you imagine like a low polygon version with Mii characters instead of Sackboy?
Yeah,
that would be Nintendo version.
That's a thing.
Sure.
I mean,
as long as it'd still be fun, then I wouldn't care.
I mean, I think the way things worked out, it was perfect because I think, you know, being on the PS3 because it has so much online. I mean, they were probably able to flesh it out a lot more than they necessarily would have on the Wii.
Yeah. Okay, well, we need to move on, John, unless you've got something really cool.
Yeah, I do, actually. Just a couple thoughts on Sonic Chronicles, which I've been playing through. I know some people were interested in that. And just, you know, kind of the obvious comparison that it draws is to a Super Mario RPG. And I would say the best way I would describe it is that it's similar, not really exactly the same, but I would say it's a solid game. I think probably the biggest flaw, it does do the series justice.
Is that
the series
Star
justice.
Sonic?
What's that, James?
The biggest flaw is that Star Sonic?
No, see, that's the whole thing, too. The one thing I will say about it is that it finally, you know, it actually, amazingly enough, is finally a good game in the Sonic series. And all those, like, useless characters, it actually puts them to good use. It's like one of the first games I've seen that puts all those...
Killing them off?
And it wasn't made by Sega.
Yeah.
Honestly... Exactly. If Amy ceased to exist and Biggs the Cat and Cream and whatever other pieces of crap they've invented since the last decade, it would be a better series for it.
Yeah, that's the thing. It uses all of those characters, but, I mean, the thing is the way it brings them in is they each have a certain skill that they can do. Like, you know, this person can climb walls. This person can do this. This person can fly. All that kind of stuff. So,
cool.
So yeah.
All
so
your favorite characters together at last.
All of your favorite characters.
All your favorite characters and the 40 other ones you don't give a shit.
That's
about.
The whole thing. It's like what? Like these? I half the characters. I mean, I haven't played many Sonic games at all, and you know, since way, way back in the day. And I'm just like, where are these characters coming from? Who are these characters? Like Amy Rose, Rouge, Cream, like Shadow the Hedgehog, like Big the Cat. I'm like, who are they? I'm just like, it's ridiculous. But yeah,
Big the Cat is as. Basically entirely encompassed by his name.
Yeah.
He is a large
cat. What
kind
of name is that?
Big the Cat.
That's it. His character design went as far as naming him.
It's like word
hey, you
that
know,
describes
we're...
the character, the, and then the animal that it is. That's all they do, right?
You know, Big the Cat has been around for almost 10 years now.
Wow.
Is that something
that
to be
really
proud
scary?
Of?
Wow.
It's just really scary to think that it's been that long since they fucked up Sonic.
No, they started back on the Saturn.
Well, yeah, but well, not really. I mean, there really wasn't a Sonic game for Saturn.
That's part of the problem.
Well, maybe. I don't know, dude. I mean,
there was Sonic
what
R,
they did with it on Dreamcast, I'm not sure that I would have wanted to see it on Saturn.
Well, see,
anyway.
That's just it though. If they hadn't completely sat around and not developed a 3D game, it might not have been so fucking dated when the Dreamcast came around. Like, I'm still not convinced they can design a 3D game.
So I don't think Sonic Adventure was dated. I just think it's crazy overrated and not actually that much fun.
I think
it's beautiful. It's still beautiful, but it's just not, to me, it's not a good game.
I think in terms of 3D game design, it was behind the times when it came out.
It might have been, yeah. I didn't play it extensively. I rented it, but
Sonic
I rented
Adventure
it on my friend's
all
Dreamcast.
Kinds of camera issues and got off
yeah.
and stuff like that. And
oh yeah,
I hate
okay.
all 3D Sonic games.
It's because they aren't good at handling a 3D mm-hmm. engine. I mean,
well, the one and James, maybe you saw this at TGS, but the Sonic and the Black Knight, I saw a trailer for it that you posted.
It wasn't
and,
playable.
The trailer. Oh, that's too bad. But the trailer looks really good. I mean,
CG will do that.
Totally, it's not. It's definitely not CG. But you know, it totally remains to be seen how it plays, what the camera actually does when you're in control of it. But the concept of it actually looks pretty cool. Like Sonic with a sword actually looks better than I would have thought. It doesn't look totally ludicrous. Some of the things he's doing with the sword actually make sense. Like, he jumps towards a wall and sticks the sword in and, like, slides down the wall with
that.
The sword. Like, almost Prince of Persia style. That's cool. Like, that's something Sonic normally can't do. So, if it's not totally scripted, it might actually make for an interesting game.
I did play Sonic Unleashed at TGS.
Oh, maybe you can tell us about that after the break.
Yeah. Okay.
Do you have even more?
No. Well, I mean, I could actually the one interesting game I did manage to play. Maybe we can touch on this sometime in the future.
Wait, 1 second. You just subtly admitted my point
that
the Sonic RPG isn't interesting.
It is interesting.
The
but,
one interesting game
but, I mean,
played. Bang. Done.
But that's the whole thing. The Sonic RPG.
Oh.
I win. You've just conceded any ground you
the
have.
The Sonic RPG is pretty much exactly what you think it would be. There's really not much to say. It's a Sonic RPG, and it's a solid but not spectacular outing.
It's a solid but uninteresting game.
Take that, game.
Box quote Lindy.
Box quote Lindy. There you go. Solid,
that would be
solid but unspectacular outing. So what was the other thing?
The other thing, Johnny, I played this with you in mind, is I played on PS3, I played Eye of Judgment, the card battle game. Which is very interesting. So everybody can now just turn off the podcast, and Johnny and I will just speak for an hour on the comparing the merits of card games.
This is really beyond Magic the Gathering, because
Johnny,
the Gathering has a fan base of over the past 15 years.
Yes,
like,
but you're playing
people
online
know what it is.
And paying for cards that don't actually exist.
I haven't played it in months, and I should have, because they keep sending me beta invites to test like the new card sets before everybody else gets to play them. And I just haven't had time to log in and do it.
So
I want
it's called
to,
Eye of Judgment.
Yeah, it uses...
I know nothing about this game.
Really, yeah.
It's an
eye that judges you.
Yeah, it uses the...
I can imagine from the title what it is. So it's the camera looks at you and it says, and it judges something about you.
Everything you do.
It looks at you and says, you're...
No, the camera looks at your cards. It's a card game that you play with your PS3. It's like your PS3 is your friend that you can play cards with, right?
Does it
yeah,
tell you that
absolutely, Johnny. Yep, my PS3 is my friend.
You didn't even have to trade a code.
No, I didn't. No, I mean, the way it works is you set the camera up, and it has like a little, you know, a little like cloth, like, you know, 9-square arena that you can put your cards down, and the PS3 camera reads the cards, and it's much like, you know, Magic. You know, it's like this. It's the same thing. You put your card down, and you just battle creatures, and basically you try to. The goal is you have the nine squares on the board, and you try to get 5 of them before your opponent does. But it's actually quite interesting. The thing that kills me, though, is the sheer amount of money. Just for curiosity, I went onto the Sony forums, and the one thread that really stuck out for me was a thread asking how much money people had spent on cards. And, I mean, I think they're coming out with Series 3 now. And each series has, I think, 250 cards or something like that. But there are people on there saying that they had spent $800 on cards,
$1,300,
$3,000 on cards.
Idiot.
And it's just...
They're a moron.
I mean, it's amazing to me that... I mean, it's pretty much kind of like a... It's like a new wave sort of baseball card collection sort of thing.
No, it's not.
Yeah,
no.
Well, I mean, people spend that kind of money on Magic cards, but it's over the course of years.
I won't mock you as much if you buy that much baseball cards. I would mock... If somebody said I bought $1,000 worth of... Eye of Judgment cards, I would call them a moron.
It's crazy to me.
Why are baseball cards acceptable, but these other cards aren't? I mean, baseball cards are just as silly, except baseball cards, literally all you can do is put them in a binder and look at them.
Because
there might be some day where
they appreciate in value. Eye of Judgment.
Well, but you could say that about these other cards, too. Yeah. There are Magic cards worth hundreds of dollars.
Absolutely.
Because you can play Magic after the PS3 no longer exists.
That's the thing, you can play Magic. And, well, actually, John didn't mention this, but I think the sort of the gimmick with Eye of Judgment is that you can play the card game without a PS3 at all. Right? I mean, you can play the cards with another person.
I like how the fact you can play the card game is a gimmick.
I mean,
what I'm saying is, it's sort of a card game, and the PS3 part with all the crazy monster animations on the screen is optional.
Yeah, I mean, you technically could. I mean, all the PS3 game does is it just kind of streamlines the whole thing. You don't have to, you know, it keeps track of everything for you. Right? But, I mean, it has rules just like... I mean, it's more like a board game. It's just kind of like a board game that happens to be shown on your PS3. I mean, there's nothing stopping you from completely playing it just like any other card game. So.
Yeah, and these people who are spending all that money, some of them probably are just playing it with the cards. You know, they have, like, local clubs or something, and they get sort of competitive.
The Eye of Judgment
That's
clubs.
My guess. Sure.
But it's,
there's plenty of Magic
Yeah,
clubs,
it's so. It's funny. It strikes me it's a game where... It's. I mean, to me, it's like the classic PS3 game where, for what it is, it's really good, but it caters to a very small niche of people. And that just seems like to be like a ton of games on the PS3 to me. Like, it has good games, but they're like, you know, instead of appealing to, you know, a huge audience, it super serves like one little audience kind of thing. It's pretty funny, but yeah.
Right. Eventually, they'll satisfy everybody.
Would you say that this game, like... the investment they put in it and how much they hyped it's really worth what they did? Because they hyped the hell out of this game when it was first...
I mean, for what it is, it's really good.
It had a great Penny Arcade comic.
I mean, for what it is, it's good. I will say that. But the thing is, they keep coming out with...
I always thought it was interesting, but I wouldn't spend a ton of money on it.
No, know? Well, the thing is, I mean...
And I don't have a PS3.
It's a total cash grab, because I guess with each set, you basically have to buy DLC, which is like $15. So in order to use set 2, you have to buy the set 2 DLC.
Wait, so you have to buy the cards and...
Yes.
And you have to, like, upgrade
your
game.
That is bullshit.
It is a total
really
cash grab.
Bullshit.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
It is. It's a total
my
cash
point
grab.
Is proven. I win. This is, once again, I win by John's own words.
Wow. Yeah, that's
This is actually worse than baseball cards, because buying the cards doesn't actually give you the cards.
Yeah, that's sad.
Well, that's the thing. It's like adding the thing is
you can spend more money.
Well, that's the thing. You have to in order to add the cards to the game, you have to buy the DLC to go along with the cards.
And how much is the DLC?
$15 a piece.
I win. It's done. I win.
Plus the cost
it's
of
over.
Cards.
But, dude, you...
I mean, people make fun of Magic Online, but, I mean, and you buy the cards there, and they're digital cards. You never see them on paper. Mm-hmm. But that's all you pay. I mean, once you buy those, they are yours. You don't have to pay for this for supporting each new set as it comes out.
How much are those cards
that's
online?
They're the same price as paper cards.
So...
But see, in Eye of Judgment, you're saying you have to buy the paper cards, which are obviously the same price as the paper cards, and you have to pay for this extra software.
That is, yep.
That's crazy.
Yep. So you would go out and buy set 2 cards, and in order to use them with the game, you would have to buy the set 2 DLC.
Jeez. Yeah. Okay, well, we got to move on. I'm last up on new business. I'll try to go quickly. First, I'll segue from John into my first game, because John and I actually played GTA 4 online together. Mm-hmm. And we didn't play for a really long time, but it's really the first time that either of us has taken the game online and played, you know, for any length of time. Like, I tried it a few months ago, and I didn't understand what was going on.
That was actually the first time I'd ever played it online.
Okay, so it was like the second time for me, but the first time... Seriously, it was like 5 minutes. I was like, oh, where are you guys? And then I couldn't find them, so I quit. So this time, we got on together. We get in this team deathmatch mode where we're like at the airport and we're shooting rocket launchers at each other. And literally within the first 60 seconds of playing the game, we both get the achievement for killing a member of the Rockstar development team. It was
That's
so
great.
Lucky.
Yep.
This guy was shooting at us, and I'm just like, oh, I'm going to get that fucker. So I just went out there, and I popped him with my rocket launcher, and all of a sudden I get this achievement popped up. And that it's the one achievement I thought I would never, ever get. And just like that. I had no idea he was even a developer until I got the achievement. And I said, oh my god, I just got an achievement for killing that guy. And John goes over there and is like, oh, let me get him.
And I got it too.
He goes over and kills him immediately after. So we had some fun with that. It was a pretty good time. I've been playing quite a bit of Wario Land Shake It, and I think the last time I talked about this, it was Lost to the Void. So I'll just cover it really briefly. But the whole question of, like, is this game worth buying? Is it worth $50 or whatever you have to pay for it? If you play the game like I do, absolutely yes. If you want to unlock all the secret levels, because I got to tell you, there's almost as many secret levels as there are normal levels in the game. And the secret levels are actually the most interesting. They tend to be more difficult, more complicated, longer. There's more stuff to do in them. They really push your skills to the max, and they have really interesting puzzles. So if you're the kind of person who goes for that, like, I'm not trying to collect every single piece of treasure in the game and get perfect and unlock all the little achievements and all the levels. I don't care about that stuff, but I do want to see all the levels, right? And if you like to do that kind of thing, if you want to see all the crazy puzzles that they're going to throw at you, there is so much content in this game. It's really shocking. At this point, I've played it for longer after the credits rolled than I did before. So the game is literally twice as long as I thought it was originally. Wow. There's a lot to the game. There's got to be 40 levels, maybe. It's a lot of levels. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot to each one. They're pretty complicated levels. They're really interesting. So I just wanted to say I'm still playing Wario, and I've had it for like almost a month now. So yeah, I think it's worth buying. I'm actually trying to finish it up and just see all the levels before I mail it off to TYP. I was telling him that he's really, really got to play because he's going to love it so much. He loves the Wario games, and he was saying that he couldn't afford to import it from America, and he didn't want to buy a Japanese Wii just so he could play it, the Japanese version. So I told him that I would mail my copy over to him. So I'm trying to finish it up and see all the levels before I send it off.
So would you compare the length to, like, Like even Mario Galaxy or something? I mean, it sounds like...
No, not to that extent, but like... I think it's quite a bit longer than, say, New Super Mario Brothers, which a lot of people sort of cited as being a little too short, a little too easy to go through. But then, you know, a lot of people realize that if you try to get all the blue coins or whatever they were, then you kind of really get the feel of the challenge of the level design, and you kind of... That's where the real meat of the gameplay is, because that's actually really challenging, and it makes the game last a lot longer. And I guess what I'm saying is, Wario, you don't even have to go to that extent of like trying to collect all the little doodads to extend the life of the game. It just has so many levels. Yeah, I think it's a fair bit longer than New Super Mario Brothers.
So I know there's vehicles and stuff in it.
Yeah.
How much do they actually factor into the gameplay?
Well, they're sort of like... There's like three or four levels where you play as a submarine the entire level, and those are really fun. You control the pitch of it by tilting the remote, and then you control like the gas with the buttons, and the other button shoots missiles or torpedoes, and those are really fun. I mean, they're not so simple that they get boring, but they're spread out enough that, you know, they provide like a nice break from the other type, from the standard gameplay, and they're not super difficult, but if you want to go through and get all the treasures, then you have to really think about which route you're going to take, and, you know, you have to shoot certain enemies. It's almost like Star Fox, you know, where you, like, you have to shoot certain enemies in order to get into this one place where there's a treasure. So those are fun. And then the other ones, you've got things like the rocket bucket, which you climb into, and then it has little rockets, and you control it by tilting, and then you push the button to fire the jets, and it's sort of like Pilot Wings, you know, with the jetpack. And, that usually you play that for like maybe a third of a level. So it'll be like one big room where you jump in the rocket bucket and you have to get around. There's a lot of coins and secret crap on the way if you want to risk for that. And then you get to the other side, maybe later in the level there's another big room like that. And then there's one secret level that's almost entirely rocket bucket stuff. But that's kind of what the secret levels are for. They sort of take one element that you might have seen elsewhere in the game, and then they really exploit it in every way you could imagine. And there's a couple other little vehicles like that, but nothing like super interesting. They're a pretty small part of the game, but they're fun. They're a good little diversion.
It looks fun.
Yeah, it's a great game.
Is it
really
easy to control? Like the tilting? Does the tilting actually work?
Oh yeah, their tilting works great. The shaking is slightly obnoxious, but it's not as big a deal as you would imagine.
You don't have to shake it like
a
psycho, do you?
Nah, you can shake it pretty softly and it still registers.
Can you shake it like a psycho?
Well, yeah, you can.
Can you shake it like a salt shaker?
Yeah, you can shake it like a Polaroid picture. Okay.
Nice.
The next game I've been playing a fair bit of is Orbient. This is another game where I don't think my comments ever actually made it on the show, so I just wanted to briefly go over it. It's the WiiWare game. It's such a crazy thing, and I just reviewed it. If you're interested, I would suggest you read the review, because it's one of my favorite reviews that I've written in a long time. But it's a really crazy game. I mean, it's like full of math and physics and Keplerian motion laws and universal gravitation constants, but there's no numbers on the screen. There are no words on the screen. You control it all with two buttons. It's an intensely deep and challenging and complex game, and yet it has the simplest controls I've ever seen. So, like, you control the entire game by either pressing A or B. A attracts you towards whatever bodies are around you, and then B repels you away from them. But even with that very, very simple scheme, it's actually really difficult to predict what will happen when you push one of those buttons until you played the game for a long time and you start to understand the relations of, you know, well, this body is bigger than this other one, but I'm farther away from it, so they'll actually attract me in equal amounts. You know, like, stuff like that is, it really works on you at a deep level, and the more you play it, the more it starts to make sense, and eventually you kind of gain this mastery over it. Never a complete mastery, but you gain this considerable skill over maneuvering through these solar systems that get increasingly complex. It's a very challenging game at the higher levels, and there's a lot of levels to it, but I just think it's an amazing value for $6. It's ass ugly. Like, the graphics are really shitty, but the music is crazy. Like, if you like Philip Glass music, Evan, I'm talking to you, if you like Philip Glass,
but if you
must download this game, because the music is crazy. It's really good. Oh,
so Jesus. Are you trying to say they had problems converting the GBA graphics to the Wii?
Yeah, well, they didn't really convert them. They just copied and pasted and blew them up to 640 by 480, you know? It's just, the sprites are really ugly.
The better question be, what graphics?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's a very simple game. So it's, you know, luckily it's not a huge detriment to the sort of the overall aesthetic. But, you know, when you're looking at things like the planets and the asteroids, and they get bigger and bigger, and they just look really terrible. They're just scaling up the sprites. They didn't redraw anything, so...
I heard the graphics are just downloadable extras, right? You download them later.
When they're done.
You know, I might actually pay for that if they offered it. Yeah, so visually it's a real turd, but the game itself is a gem, so I highly recommend it. It's totally weird and beautiful and amazing. And then just really quickly, I'm still playing Dragon Quest IV, which is unusual in that I reviewed it like almost 2 weeks ago, it seems like, or at least over a week ago, and I'm still playing it. I'm actually playing it more heavily now than I was during the time I was reviewing it. I'm just getting like increasingly addicted to it. At this point, I played it for like 45 hours, and I just got the liquid metal sword, and I'm like, fuck yeah! And I'm just tearing
the liquid
shit up
metal
in
sword.
The T-1000
yes.
sword?
Yes.
Oh, there you go.
It is bad, and it lets you kill the
John Connor.
It lets you kill the metal bubble slimes, which give you like 20,000 experience. So yeah. Anyway, Dragon Quest IV, it's the gift that keeps on giving. So thanks, John.
No problem, buddy.
It's like herpes.
I'm loving it. Yeah. So that's all I've got, and thus ends our brief new business segment.
3 hours later.
I told you.
I think I went a shorter time than the rest of you guys, actually, for once, and I covered.
But you
four
said
games.
You were gonna stay honest.
Well, I tried to, but then John had one more game, and then he had one more
game. Just
trying
to give the people what they want: content, man, content, content.
Less of you.
That's right. They want more of John because he doesn't talk enough. So it was good. I didn't want to cut him off because it was nice to hear his voice. Okay.
Good. Now he's gonna sing.
It's good to know I'm so invisible. Nice.
Okay, so we're going to take a break now. We'll be back with DLC Mondays and our TGS special feature with James Charles. Kick off the second segment with DLC Mondays. We had a hell of a day this week, at least in North America. We've got World of Goo. That's 1,500 points for WiiWare. It's tied for the most expensive WiiWare game, but a lot of people seem to think it's totally worth it. I don't know. Am I the only one who's downloaded it so far?
Well, I'm sure that our news editor, Carmine Red, has downloaded it because the first time he played, back in E3?
No, it was before E3.
It was before E3. He hasn't shut up about it since.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I downloaded it today, and I played it for about 20 minutes, and so far I think it's really good. It definitely has great, great 2D graphics, great music. The actual gameplay of it, I can't really decide yet if I like it or not because I'm just so early, and I haven't really seen all they've done with it. But I have to say the mechanics... even in the first 10 levels that I've played, and the levels tend to be pretty short, they only take a couple minutes to beat, but I think there are a lot of levels in the game. But even the ones I've seen so far, they already have gotten pretty inventive with the mechanics, and they've introduced a lot of pretty cool ideas. So, I mean, if you kind of want like a physics-based puzzle game that's sort of, you know, it's unique, it's definitely very different and unusual, and it has this weird style to it. Yeah, I like physics too. I do like physics games, actually. I mean, like, you know, Orbient and Portal and a lot
fucking
of other
physics
stuff.
Suck.
Fuck physics.
But,
fuck
it. You know, it's $15. It's a lot for a downloadable game, but if you, you know, I paid that for Braid, and
well, they could have easily made that a retail game, right? And that would have been a
disaster.
Well,
they probably would have had to add more content.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't played enough to decide whether, you know, I would have scoffed at this being on a disc or not, but the production values are definitely above a lot of disc-based Wii games that I've played. So
that's not saying a lot.
No, the bar is pretty low, but you know, they've done well with it. It's a very attractive game, and it seems very interesting. But it kind of, for me, it remains to be seen, you know, if it's really worth that or just how good it gets. But it's pretty cool so far. Yeah. We've also got Cubello for 600 points on WiiWare. This is another art style game, but interestingly enough, it's not based on a Bit Generations GBA game. This is a brand new WiiWare game in the art style brand, and as far as I can tell, Nintendo developed it. They definitely published it, but I looked through the game, the operations guide, Nintendo's press materials. As far as I can tell, there's no other developer listed, so this could actually be like the first WiiWare game ever that's developed by Nintendo, or
they
could
don't
just be totally shafting the studio.
yeah, well,
I don't know.
Either possibility is out there, but the game's not, you know, if it is developed by Nintendo, it wouldn't have exactly taken the A-team to do it.
Well, no, I downloaded A-team? This and I don't know.
It's the A-team. Mr. T is sitting behind his terminal right now coding Cubello.
Awesome.
Well,
I pay the fool who doesn't like the pink squares.
Yeah.
Why don't you explain this game, since it didn't really get a lot of public.
Well, it reminds me of ZooCube, which is a puzzle game for like PS2 and GameCube from last generation that I reviewed, and it's very similar to that in some ways, but basically the idea is that you start out with this big cluster of different colored cubes, and you have to shoot other cubes at these and try to match up the colors in groups of four to make them disappear. So it's similar to, like, you know, a Tetris or a Dr. Mario style game where you're dropping things, except it's in a 2D, it's in a 3D environment instead of just a 2D plane where things are just dropping. So it's a little bit actually like Tetrisphere, except it's not a sphere. It's like this ugly, you know, it's like this big blocky blob of stuff instead of a sphere.
But the mechanic is
similar to Tetrisphere, actually. So the weird thing about it is that, you know, the gameplay is very simple. All you do is point at the screen and push a button to shoot a block, and that's all there is to it. That's the mechanic. But because it's in 3D, you know, you have to be able to, like, look at different sides of this thing, right? So the weird thing is that the game doesn't give you any camera control. The weird thing is that this cluster of crap in the middle is just automatically rotating on its own pace. And so if you want to see something that's on the other side of it, all you can do is just wait a few seconds for it to rotate around to get to where you want to shoot. And every time you shoot, it spins it away from where you shot it 180 degrees. So you can't just shoot in the same place twice in a row. I don't know why they did that. It's really strange.
It pisses you off.
It's really odd. But yeah, basically you sort of control the camera by shooting at this thing. If that makes any sense. But it's a pretty unusual game.
Camera controls for that game.
Well,
they don't give you them.
I don't know. I mean, it's obviously designed to be as simple as possible, so it makes sense that would be the first thing to go. But I'm not sure that they solved the camera issue in a really good way, because I was playing it today and I was thinking, you know, if it weren't for this thing rotating on its own pace and moving every time I shoot at it, this game would be pitifully easy. Like, it's so simple, there's almost nothing to it. And It's perfect. Like, it's almost like the lack of camera control is like the gimmick that makes it challenging.
So they break the game to make it harder.
Sort of. I don't know. I mean, it's not. I don't want to be too
mystery
down
dungeon.
On it because I've only played it for like 15 minutes, and I had a good time with it. Actually, I mean, I think it's a decent thing. I don't think it's as good of a 600-point WiiWare game as Orbient is. It's more attractive visually, but I don't think it's as deep of a game nearly. So the other thing to note is that it has this computer voice that talks to you while you play, and actually the entire tutorial is narrated by this computer voice, and it reads the entire tutorial to you out loud. And it sounds like Stephen Hawking telling you how to play this Cubello game.
Let's tap. Choose your tapping
game. It's not that.
Is it kind of like that?
No,
can,
it's
can
not that
Can penguins
good.
Play Cubello?
No. No, but anyway, it's pretty entertaining, at least, the voice. I like the voice. But Cubello, I don't know, to me the jury's still out on that one. It's interesting, though.
Stephen Hawking presents Cubello.
Exactly. It's definitely out of nowhere. I mean, this game, we never heard of it before today, and now I own it, you know. We still don't really know who developed
and
it.
And whose just fault is that?
Well, it's Nintendo's. It's just really crazy that they released
Nintendo's
these games.
It's Nintendo's fault you own it?
No. It's Nintendo's fault that we don't know anything about it. I downloaded it because I was curious, honestly. Like, I was like, what the hell is this? I have to pay. It's only 600 points, so I don't know. It's just really weird. Okay, so on the Virtual Console side, pretty stellar release here. We've been waiting for this for a few weeks, but we finally got Secret of Mana for 800 points, the classic Super Nintendo action RPG from Square Enix.
It is a classic.
John, I know
God
you're
bless.
A big fan.
God bless. I love Secret of Mana.
I would laugh if you right now just went and bashed the hell out of the game. John, you're a big fan. Fuck, I hate that game.
I was
no
lying.
Way, man. Nothing but love here. Nothing but love here for Secret
A lot
of Mana.
Detractors are kind of climbing out of the woodwork today, though, to kind of make complaints about it, saying the AI sucks, which I don't know. I guess it does. A lot of people are complaining about the hit detection, but I don't remember that ever being a problem. Of course, I haven't played it in 15 years.
I don't think it's the greatest, but I mean, it's not really... The thing is, it doesn't really try to be the greatest, you know?
No.
I mean, it's kind of...
It doesn't try to be the greatest hit detection?
No.
No, I mean, it's kind of more... It's more focused on action kind of thing than giving a, you know, properly represented, you know, real-time combat, you know...
Okay, I get you.
Simulated.
I get you.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just... It's kind of... I always felt like
it's
it kind of
meant to be that
sloppy.
Precise.
Exactly.
That's what you're saying. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's fair. Anyway, it's a pretty great action RPG game. You know, it's beautiful. It's got great music.
Great music.
Mm-hmm. Everybody loves the music. It's one of those rare Square Enix games that they haven't re-released ever. So, and actually it was like the last good game in the series. There's Seiken Densetsu 3, which never left Japan. It was another Super Nintendo game, but I don't know. I played it on my computer once, and I didn't like it. But a lot of people seem to like that one, so maybe that'll come out eventually. But it'd be a lot to translate if they were going to release it outside Japan.
Now, why do you think they've never released they've never re-released Secret of Mana? I could never figure that out.
It's a very good question. I really don't know. It's just it's like, you know, with Chrono Trigger, I understand a little because there were like a lot of people outside of Square who were involved with it. You know, like Toriyama. So maybe there were some licensing issues and things like that. But with Secret of Mana, it was developed entirely in-house, and the people who made it, as far as I know, they still work at Square. So I really don't know. It's kind of strange. Yep. You know, I'm surprised they never did like a Secret of Mana or did like a Mana series compilation on PS1 like they did with all the Final Fantasies, you know?
I think because it just didn't have the same... cachet as the Final Fantasy games.
I guess also, so. It's definitely like a cult favorite, though.
Yeah.
But also, you're forgetting that Square don't really like, re-releasing their old games.
Yeah,
that's true.
They just do one game and they just leave it. They just let it go.
It's just so not.
I guess
style.
You know why should we expect it for this one game when they've never done it for anything else? But. You know, I mean, Nintendo actually remade the first Seiken Densetsu. It was called Sword of Mana on GBA. That was it was well in America. It was the original Game Boy release was Final Fantasy Adventure, but in Japan it was actually Seiken Densetsu, and Secret of Mana was Seiken Densetsu 2. So it's direct sequel to that. So that game has been remade. But the much more popular one, Secret of Mana, never was. Anyway, it's out now. You can download it and enjoy it. It has actually really nice wireless three-player support on your Wii. It's pretty cool. You don't need a multi-tap or anything. So we also get, this is somewhat less exciting, but Street Fighter II Championship Edition. This is the Genesis version.
Yes.
Yes, the Genesis for 800 one? Points. It's the Genesis game, yes. Seriously,
just
it's like
Street
the...
Fighter games. On
that series,
the ultimate shitty version
Genesis.
Of Street Fighter 2.
And I think,
Would you even release this? I mean, we've already got Street Fighter 2, Street Fighter 2 Turbo, and Super Street Fighter 2, all for Super Nintendo. They're all better than this. Mm-hmm. So seriously, don't download this. I'm sure it's not terrible.
Yeah,
but
it
it's directly inferior to stuff that's
is.
Already
it
on
actually.
Virtual console for the same price.
It is, in
price.
Fact, terrible.
Is this the Mega Drive version?
Yes.
Right?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It is,
so
in fact, terrible.
It would have less colors. It wouldn't look as good as the
it's
SNES.
It's slower.
SNES
it has
version.
Worse hit
Oh, the
detection.
Music is horrific.
Yeah. It has bad sound effects. It's slower. It has bad hit detection. The background graphics are sparse. The colors are sparse. The characters are sparse.
Well,
the controls are kind of shoddy,
only,
and it's not worth
I think the only reason
points.
That people defended it back then is that you could play it with the 6-button Genesis controller, you know, which was closer to the arcade format. But now that it's on Virtual Console, you can't do that anymore. Now you're going to be playing it on Classic Controller, which is exactly like a Super Nintendo controller. So you might as well play the Super Nintendo
the
versions. Don't download this shit. Get Secret of Mana instead. Okay, so that's DLC Mondays, and now we're going to jump into our feature topic of the day, our special event feature with TGS 2008. And James Charlton, I'm going to hand it over to you, man. Just tell us what you played, what you saw, and what was interesting.
Well, I've got a huge list of things that I played and saw, and I didn't play nearly everything that I wanted to. I just didn't have enough time. There's only me there, and there's only so much one guy can do. I tried to play as much as I could. I couldn't be bothered waiting. Like, for example, Monster Hunter 3, that was ridiculous. The line for that game, it was ridiculous. It was like 3 hours. And that was on the media day. That was just like, you know, other press people.
Yeah.
That is just ridiculous. I mean, but I did go into the booth, and I did see it. I got like a press badge so I could go into the booth and take pictures. And I also took some pictures of the like the controls. They gave me this kind of English control page that like mapped out all the controls for all the different weapons. And I took some pictures of that.
Resourceful.
I think people might be interested in that. I'm gonna. Haven't uploaded that yet. That's I've uploaded a couple, but. I'm going to do the rest soon.
You've been overloaded, man. You've been posting so much media. It's crazy.
Yeah, I'm going cross-eyed with, like, looking through all these, like CDs that I've got. I've got this huge stack of, like, you know, press media CDs. It's ridiculous.
This would be like this would be like going to E3 by yourself with no other staff members.
Yeah.
I really don't envy you at all. It's just... I
That's
can't imagine.
I did, yeah.
Yeah, it's really insane.
So,
now, just a question. You had a good story about your press badge and people trying to get one.
Oh, right. That was weird. Like, so when you first go into the game show, you've got to register. You've got to say who you are. You've got to prove like which publication you're from. So I had printouts of Nintendo World Report, and I had to show some articles that I'd written to prove that it was me. And I came in with this like black and white like photocopy of the site and my business card, and I got straight in. And right next to me was the people from the official Sony magazine called Core, I think it's called, the online.
Yeah, that's their online video magazine.
The online video magazine, yep. Right? I had there was the girl who presents it, like the
That's funny.
Yeah, she was standing right next to me, and this guy who was the producer, director guy, And they couldn't get into the Tokyo Game Show because they had no proof that what publication they were from, because it's an online like video thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they were sat there like arguing with these Japanese people, like trying to get in, and they were just like, no, you have to show us like proof of where you're from and what company you're from. And it's like, that's Sony, for Christ's sake. I couldn't get in, and I just walk in. I just flash my Nintendo World Report card, and they're like, "Oh, yeah, there you go."
Which, by the way, could have easily been faked.
Right.
Don't give the listeners any ideas.
Yes, go fly to Tokyo and fake admission to the next TGS. It's not like it's not crammed full of people already.
Yeah. Right. So, actually, James, before we move on, since you're sort of on this kind of topic, I heard that you kind of were in podcast nerd fan heaven at TGS.
I was. I'm such a podcast nerd. I listen to like so many podcasts, including this one.
Yeah.
And I'm sure lots of the listeners probably listen to One Up Yours. It's quite a popular podcast, right?
Right.
I think all of us listen to it at least.
Yeah. And I met Shane Bettenhausen and Garnet Lee from that show. And I met Shane. He was lining up to play Patapon 2 for the PSP. So we were just chatting about stuff, and he gave me his business cards. And he was a really cool guy. It was really cool to meet him. And should I say anything about Garnet Lee?
Yeah, maybe not. Man.
I'm kind of scared now.
Yeah. Maybe we should. Maybe what you've just said is sufficient.
Okay.
He was probably, on jet lag, so, or hungover, or both.
Let's just say I met Shane and Garnet, and Shane was really nice. End of sentence.
That's too bad.
Yeah. And elsewhere, I'm not sure if you... Do you listen to the IGN Nintendo podcast?
Yeah, I do.
I do a fair amount.
Begrudgingly, but yes.
They do tend to have good info that they don't want to write about, but they'll say on the podcast.
Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah.
So
maybe if listeners think we hate Nintendo, you should listen to IGN's podcast.
I think they're just pissed at Nintendo because they have to put
We come all over Nintendo's face compared to what those guys say about Nintendo every week.
Oh, God. So, Matt Casamassina and Mark Bozon from IGN Nintendo, they weren't at the show. They were still in the States. But Jessica Chobot and Damon Hatfield. Damon Hatfield is a Nintendo editor for IGN. And he does various, like, he's like the James Jones of IGN.
Yes.
He's a podcast producer.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I met him, and he was really cool. He's a really nice guy. He was kind of surprised that I recognized him. he was like, "Why are you talking to me?" I'm like, I see you on the podcast all the time, because they do a video one as well, so I know what he looks like.
Oh, okay. I've never seen their video show. I'm surprised Craig Harris wasn't there. He's usually there to cover DS stuff. But I've never met Damon. There. I've met Matt before many times, and I've met Craig, and Craig is especially a really nice guy. I like Craig a lot. I used to see him in all kinds of press tours and things. I'd never met Damon, so that's cool.
I saw her name
online recently, and I was looking at it, and I've always thought it's such a strange last name.
Yeah.
And I was like, what kind of a name is that? And then I thought about it, and I went back to my French lessons in high school, and I thought maybe it was originally pronounced Chobot.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah, it's like, I can't believe that she'd actually...
they like Americanized the pronunciation of it.
Well, yeah. That's not that uncommon though, because I mean,
no,
I know
it's
that.
Not.
I mean, not to go into my family's names and things, but my
Jones is a tricky one.
Jones is Ukrainian.
My grandmother's
of
side of the family. Anglicized their French name too.
Yeah.
So, okay.
But Chabot sounds so much more. Chabot. You know what I mean? It's so much more.
I just think Chabot sounds so much better.
It sounds
than
so much
Chobot.
More sleazy how John says it.
Chobot sounds like somebody's like like internet nickname. It just doesn't even sound real.
Though. I mean,
it sounds like something some character you would collect in a Sonic game or something.
Exactly. You know, it always makes me think of the little Kobun guys from Mega Man Legends that Chris Kohler's obsessed with, the little yellow-headed guys.
Mm-hmm. It's very close to Chocobo as well, right?
Yep. Wow.
Yeah. This is the stupidest tangent
nice
ever.
War.
I'm sorry.
No, it's not. That's the worst part. It probably isn't.
Okay. Anyway, James, tell us about some games.
Okay, so I was talking about Monster Hunter 3, right? Before we got sidetracked.
Oh, yeah.
The booth, at least.
Yeah, the booth. That was a pretty awesome booth, pretty awesome looking game. It's got to be one of the best looking games on the Wii so far, definitely. There's a lot going on. They've got huge, like, arenas, like, huge monsters, loads of polygons, like, reflections, like, really detailed characters. And there's no slowdown. There's a bit of loading between sections, but nothing that would, like, piss you off too much. Just very, very impressive. And it's online. And they were all playing online at TGS. They had, like, four controllers set up. And so you had to play with four people. So, like, they played in teams of four. And that was... Apparently, I talked to the booth guy there, and he said that they were using the online mode. That was the way that they linked the systems together. So that would be how it would play when the final version comes out.
Yeah, this sounds like I could actually get into this one. I'm kind of hoping they bring it to America so I can give it a try.
It's kind of like the grown-ups version of Pokemon in a way. I mean, in Japan, it's incredibly
popular. That would be fine
with
me. Yeah.
Everywhere I go,
I think a grown-up Pokemon would
be pretty
cool. I see a PSP
with that game on.
All right. Yeah. So, what else?
So, staying with Capcom, I didn't play, but I saw Tatsunoko versus Capcom, the new Street Fighter versus game.
Yeah.
And that looks good.
I was both surprised and completely unsurprised when this game was sort of shown. Like, I was surprised that they went with this combination, but I was totally unsurprised that Capcom would do it.
Right.
If that makes sense.
I don't even know what Tatsunoko is, but I'm assuming it's some kind of anime company.
Yeah.
Or some kind of
I've never heard of
anime.
It either, but apparently it's got a rabid fan base.
Yeah, it's pretty old school, like from...
You can play as Mega Man, that's all that matters.
I'm trying to think of what Tatsunoko's made.
It's all like Gatchaman and Pokemon or things like that. I don't know what they're called.
They did stuff like Gatchaman, and I think they did the original Macross and Speed Racer.
Yep.
It's that kind of
style.
They were
definitely involved in Macross.
Yeah.
They did Speed Racer,
yes.
Oh, maybe he's in there.
I think they also did that Pizza Cat show.
Samurai Pizza Cats.
They did. I think
awesome.
They did.
No respect.
I love that.
Wow. Okay. So, I'm kind of looking forward to that. It's really nice graphics.
Yeah, it's because it's sticking with 2D. They can just focus on making it really smooth and control really well, and the effects look really nice. It's very, very smooth. Looks like an arcade game, like a modern arcade game. It's very impressive.
Cool.
They also apparently did the Bible-based anime Superbook. Yes.
Yes.
I've seen that one.
Nice.
I saw that.
Yes!
They used to show that to us when I was in Sunday school and as a kid.
Oh.
Where you have like the two teenagers, but also this little tiny character who's like a Bible with legs and a face. Right?
That's not disturbing at all.
Yeah. Oh, I just...
What was it called? Mr. Bible.
Oh, my God.
James was saying it's called Superbook.
That's the name of the series.
Yeah, I'm almost positive that I watched that in Sunday school as a child. Yeah,
I'm looking at the Wikipedia page for it right now. The criticisms paragraph is way too short for what this game is or what this series is. It should be many pages of criticisms.
Don't go into it, please. Okay.
Okay. So the other Capcom game, but it's not on Nintendo system. Street Fighter 4. They had a really nice booth for that. It looked like Chun-Li's stage from the game. They'd actually recreated the stage on the booth. It looked pretty cool. and they had a Chun-Li cosplayer come out so you could take pictures of her.
Yeah, I saw there were people taking pictures of her with her leg up. I'm like, oh, Japan.
Oh, maybe God. They can reuse her for Bayonetta.
Oh, yeah, there you
or
go.
Maybe that's a Sega game. I can't remember.
It is a Sega game. It's actually Sega and, damn it.
It's Platinum game.
Yeah, Sega and Platinum.
Do you know the other female character in Street Fighter 4? She's got, like, red-tinted
Cammy.
Glasses.
Cammy?
No,
Cammy, she's English.
Oh,
the new one.
Is it Viper
no
or something? Viper or something like that. They had a cosplayer of her, and she looked exactly like the character. It was scary. She was even doing, like, the same pose and everything.
Well, you know, it's Crimson Viper.
Oh, but, that's, yeah. That's
yeah, but I guess with a new character, though, that's a little bit easier, because they can sort of model the character a little bit if they have someone in mind already.
Right.
Versus, like, all the crazy Chun-Li cosplayers they've had over the years.
Many of them male.
I don't think her thighs were thick enough, either.
Well, it's kind of hard to get thighs that thick. But no, Johnny.
On a woman,
I mean,
right.
There have been official Capcom Chun-Li cosplayers. Like, title. That is your title. You are Chun-Li.
Nice. Yeah.
That's,
wow. I believe
that's
it, man.
Mind-blowing to me.
I believe it.
Okay,
so
can I move on to another booth?
Yeah,
yes.
We got to keep moving.
I'll move on to the Sega booth. I played Phantasy Star Zero for the DS.
Cool.
That was another, like, four-player setup, so you could only play with four players. And it was showcasing the online mode. And I played with, like, three other random, like, Japanese media people. And it was really cool. I mean, I've never played a Phantasy Star game in my life, and I haven't really been interested in doing so, but It looked really, really good, and to have it online and, like, streaming these levels, like, between four players, like, really smoothly, it was really impressive.
A lot of the graphics have been pretty stunning I've seen from it so far.
Mm, yeah.
For the DS.
It's funny, they were just on one of yours, they were saying that that the graphics are really terrible.
Really? Because they're full of shit, I'm looking at them right now.
What do you think, James? You played it.
Yeah, I thought they were great. I mean, they were quite high polygons for a DS game. I was playing as this robot character, and he was, like, really well animated. And
was it smooth?
Yeah, it was pretty smooth. I mean, it's quite, like, pixelated if you compare
it
to a PSP game. Yeah, it's HD DS.
Sweet.
They got 69. This add-on. Yeah, they got this.
It only plays on the DSi.
Yeah.
127-inch screen.
Now, the thing I've heard about that game is that it's kind of their answer to Monster Hunter. Is that true in any capacity?
Yeah, that could be true because, like I was saying before, the PSP Monster Hunter game is just crazy popular here. Mm-hmm. So this could be like the DS's answer to that. Hmm. Definitely.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. I'm sure it is related to that. But in some senses, I think Monster Hunter is sort of based on Phantasy Star Online. So it's sort of just coming more full circle. It's sort of like Rock Revolution from Konami. Mm-hmm. You
know? Right.
It's like, we did this first, and then somebody else did it better, and now we're going to try to one-up them by redoing it ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Good luck with that.
But hopefully Phantasy Star Zero will be better than Rock Revolution. I don't see how it couldn't be. But.
Well, so far it looks pretty good.
I would say, though, that Monster Hunter is probably, you know, saying it evolved from the same thing as Phantasy Star is being pretty general, considering there's a lot of games where you go out in parties and kill monsters for rewards.
True.
I guess so. I mean, as far as, like, online Japanese games where you play in groups of four and you go kill monsters and you're basically looting, that sounds like Phantasy Star.
Yeah, but there have been non-online Monster Hunter games, too.
That's true, yeah. But they all have, like, wireless play for PSP. Okay, anyway.
Okay. Next on the Sega booth, I didn't manage to play Let's Tap. I really wanted to. They had a really big line for that, actually. I was quite surprised.
Were they playing the music?
Were there any penguins in line?
There weren't. Sonic
Damn
was
it.
Nearby, though. They had the Werehog version of Sonic.
Oh, God.
Oh, Sonic Unleashed?
That's the one. they had
honestly, if one more game comes out with the subtitle Unleashed, someone needs to die. John, you're not even getting it right.
John, what are you doing?
He's trying to whistle the Let's Tap theme song, but he is blowing it.
No, I'm not.
Yeah, it doesn't sound nearly correct.
You obviously weren't listening.
Okay, what were you whistling? Go for it. Shh, John.
What?
The kids, all of the children.
This is where they break it down, though.
There it is!
That's the part you were missing. James, enough!
It's never enough.
It's never enough.
No. I like how you now have that song on call for, you know, for any given moment when you
might need it. I recorded it for the last edit, so it's just sitting on my desktop to pull up at any moment.
Yeah. It's an amazing song. So, anyway, JC, you said you didn't get to play it, unfortunately.
I didn't get to play it. I watched, they had two setups. They had one which had no line at all, and you could just play with the screen. It was like a screensaver type thing. So they had like, it was like an aquarium, and you could tap the box, and it would make the water ripple. And there was another one with like kind of fireworks that kind of went off.
I've seen some images of the aquarium like one. It had like a koi in like a koi pond.
It looked pretty. It looked
it actually looked quite good.
I mean, impressive, but not really much of a game.
Well, tell the WiiWare developer you put a fish tank out.
Oh right.
It's funny. Someone was actually at Probe at Yuji Naka's studio. Someone was playing Let's Tap and said, "You know, this is too much of a game. Let's add another mode that's less game than this." So that's where the aquarium and the fireworks came from. I
would like to have actually seen them bring a penguin out trained to play the game. Because honestly,
seriously, I mean, TGS is so known for these crazy spectacular stage shows. I mean, it just seems like a natural fit.
And we all know that Japan has no problem basically using their zoo animals for promotional things. They just get one.
Speaking of, have you ever seen the YouTube video of the people who rescued a penguin and have trained it to go get their mail and to go to the store and pick up fish and bread from the deli?
What the fuck?
That's pretty awesome.
It is the cutest thing I've ever seen.
It has a special
air-conditioned den, you know, like a penguin house that they built for it that they keep at like 40 degrees all the time, and it's the cutest thing I've ever seen. It has its own little like Hello Kitty backpack that it carries to the deli, and the deli guy knows to just put the fish and the bread into the backpack, and then the penguin takes it home. And the penguin actually carries in the backpack, it carries the money. It is the fucking cutest kawaii thing I've ever seen. You have to see it. It's so funny.
Right.
So what were you saying? You said actually, and then Johnny had the penguin story.
The penguin story hijacks everything, sorry.
Yes. Well, the penguin did host a round table after I saw that.
Nice.
It just flapped its wings a lot.
What did he have to say about the thought that went into the game's design?
He commented on the simplistic nature of it and said it was quite impressive. Yeah.
Did he take offense at the implication that it was so simple he could play it?
Yeah. That joke
will have no play outside of American TV markets.
Right, yeah. Penguins and caveman, always being trod on by the man. Okay, so what else? What's next, James?
So, Sonic Unleashed for the Wii, which is called World Adventure, I think, in Japan.
Nice. Did you get hands-on with this?
Yeah, I did hands-on with that.
You're the first one from our side to actually play it, then.
Oh, right. They had all three versions, like, next to each other. And I played the Wii one, and you had a choice of either playing the Knight Werehog level or the usual kind of Sonic running around kind of level. Can you guess which one I chose?
Oh, I'm guessing you didn't pick the Sonic running around one, because that'd be too easy. You were like, Sega, give me the part of the game you're most likely to have fucked up.
Unfortunately, I'm not James Jones, so
damn
I
it.
Didn't do that. No, I played the regular level, because I didn't fancy having a hedgehog with, like, bendy arms that looked like Mr. Fantastic out of the Fantastic Four.
Yes!
Yeah. Plastic no. Man.
So, yeah, it looks quite impressive for a Wii game. The frame rate was smooth. It didn't drop at all. It was pretty high polygon count from what I could see for a Wii game. It was very good. It was very smooth. Controls were pretty good. It took a while to get used to, like, sliding around corners instead of just turning. And there were often points where, like, you had no idea that there was a wall coming, and then suddenly you would just run straight into it, and that would just, like, break the whole momentum of the whole level.
They've been doing that since the very first Sonic game.
Yeah. And why do they
like,
do that
let's
thing?
Make a game where the character's really fast and fill it with spikes and walls so you can't actually run.
No, you can run fast as long as you've memorized the level.
Right.
And water stages, too, because that'll be fine.
And why do they do that thing, like, the camera spins around to, like, in front of Sonic, and it's like...
So you can see his face. So when he makes out with his next female character, you won't feel as grossed out as you did the first time.
So you can see the attitude.
Yeah. I'm pissed, and you know it.
Every time it happens, I instantly look at the controller, and I'm like, should I be still holding up? Should I be holding right? Like,
Am I still playing the game?
Am I still
That's
playing?
What I ask.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I hate that. Why do they do that? Ridiculous.
So, I mean, do you think at least that half of the game will it at least be up to par with the recent Sonic 3D games, or could it even be better?
I think it's more like Sonic Adventure 1. Like, they're trying to keep it, like, smooth, fast, and, you know, as not as annoying as possible. But that's only the regular levels. I don't know about the Werehog levels.
Right, that's 50% of the game, basically.
Oh, God. I was about to say.
Well, look, that's better than what they have been. It's been, like, 20% Sonic, 80% characters you don't give a shit about.
Oh, God. Yeah. I was about to say, if it's 80% the regular levels, then it's going to be great. But you've just...
It's about 50-50, I think.
Idea.
Because you needed 20% of levels starring that bat who apparently has caused all sorts of disturbing
Rouge.
Imagery. Thank you to the internet.
Skinny the bat.
Rouge.
Skinny the bat.
Skinny the bat.
It's Rouge. She actually has her own line of Star Wars games.
Star Wars games?
Yeah. Okay. That joke didn't work at all.
Yeah. That's terrible.
People always misspell Rogue Squadron. And they type Rouge Squadron, and it drives me nuts.
Got it. Every review from now on, John passed on to him because it's going to be Rouge Squadron.
Rouge
I'll work
Squadron.
It
so,
okay.
Because the 360 and the PS3 version were right next to the Wii version, it was really easy to compare the graphics. And when you compare, like, the PS3 version next to it, then the Wii version looks kind of terrible. But if you kind of ignore
kinda.
The PS3 version, yeah. If you just kind of put your hands like next to your eyes and you kind of block out
la,
the
la,
side,
la.
If you pretend
then
that the
it looks awesome.
If you pretend the PS3 doesn't exist at all as a platform, it looks amazing.
Yeah,
oh,
exactly.
Actually, Nintendo fanboys are actually pretty good at pretending that other systems don't exist.
Exactly.
Well, I would say in this case, Sony's made it a lot easier for them this time around than the last two.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
Ooh,
okay, so what's after Sonic?
After Sonic, I played Samba de Amigo, but that's out, right? That's old news.
Right. That's
well, it except that nobody's played it because nobody's bought it. So mm-hmm.
Yeah,
well,
I didn't want to buy it, so I had a few goes at that.
Good call.
I thought it was pretty good. I'd heard bad things about the controls, but I had no problems. I was playing it on easy, and
oh, you might fine. You might actually have the Samba Wii gene that allows you to play it.
Samba Wii gene.
Yeah, it's actually, you know, like how a third of the population can roll up their tongues in a game. Tube.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, seems like you can either play it or you can't. But yeah, it's definitely easier to do it easy. But like, if you crank it up to any kind of higher,
yeah,
higher
I could
level,
imagine that being
it's just not good enough.
And hard.
Yeah.
And then they had this at the Sega booth. Still, they had this incredibly weird game. There's a trailer of it on our YouTube channel.
Weirder it's than called, Let's Tap.
Weird. Whoa, much weirder than Weird Let's Tap. It's called 482. 482, yeah. And it's like this live-action detective game. So it's like entirely like real actors, like filmed in Shinjuku in Tokyo.
So it's certainly coming to the U.S.
Wait, this is a DS game, right?
Not in your wildest million years.
So you're telling me it's already localized?
I've already had a pretty wild million years.
Yeah, it's quite bizarre. You have to see the trailer to... Well, even if you see the trailer, you will not understand what the hell the game is about. I don't understand, and I saw it. I have no idea.
So you're saying language skills don't help any?
Language skills do not matter. No one will ever be able to understand this game, including Japanese people.
Do the people that made the game understand this game?
Of course not. They're the ones who least know what's going on.
Is this for DS or Wii?
It's Wii. It's like full motion video. There's a word you haven't heard since the 90s.
No, that's not really true, because we had Target Terror.
Oh. Zing.
That's not really full motion video. That's
full motion
that's
vomit.
That's like digitized animation. That's like Mortal Kombat stuff. It's sort of digitized
animation.
Full motion video.
Yeah.
Full motion videos like Wing Commander type stuff.
Oh dear.
Yeah, it's basically like a TV show that you play. I have no idea. Check out the video and see what you think.
I have some TV shows I play as drinking games. They're called the Presidential Debates. Anyway.
Point of note for our listeners, Johnny moved the recording day so he could go listen to we'll go watch the debate, apparently so he could drink through them, as opposed to doing his duty towards democracy.
I watched them, didn't I?
Drunk
actually, Greg
count.
Watched them too. Greg watched them too, so
there we go.
It's not just me. I do watch all the debates, yes.
You're a master debater.
My master debate watcher, yes. Okay, so...
Should I move on?
Yeah, please.
Yeah, from high school.
God, move on.
For the love of God.
Okay, let's go on to Taito. So, Taito, the Cooking Mama company, right? They had all kinds of Cooking Mama things. And Gardening Mama.
You're good at saying that. You're not doing the John Davison Marmar.
Oh, I can say it the real Japanese way if you want me to.
Oh, try. Yeah, I want to hear that.
Gardening Mama.
That's great. That's great.
How's that?
That's genius.
That's beautiful.
That's great. Yeah. So Gardening Mama. That's
so
the natural
Gardening
follow-up, I guess.
Mama and Cooking Mama for the Wii. Well, is it called World Kitchen? Like the sequel to Cooking Mama on the Wii.
Yes.
On the Wii, they're, in America, they're called Cooking Mama Cook-Off, but I don't know if that's a localization thing, or maybe the World Adventure is just the next sequel.
Okay, they won't call it Cook-Off in Europe, I can guarantee it, because that sounds too much like something else.
Fuck off.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay.
that kind of thing, we don't have cook-offs. I know
Bugger
what
off.
Cook-off is, but... Yeah, it sounds like cock off, basically.
Oh, cock off. Okay. See, know. It's so cock funny. Off. Of all swear off. Words I came up with, I didn't come up with that one. It's good exercise, guys. Good exercise.
The
cheers.
One that sounds like the word. Yeah. Anyway, so I played Cooking Mama 2 for the Wii, and I made cookies.
Oh, are they tasty?
They were. They were virtually tasty.
That's a great soundbite right there.
So I virtually tasty. So
I don't understand why you would buy Cooking Mama instead of like a say an Easy Bake Oven.
Because they don't have little
where you can actually make things that you can eat.
Well, I wouldn't eat anything that comes out of an Easy Bake Oven either, but.
Oh, we see. When I was little, one of my babysitters had an Easy Bake Oven, and we would make things with her. I mean, I was like seven, or you know, five or six or seven, and we would make these like little coffee cakes that were just loaded with sugar and cinnamon. They're fucking delicious. We always made one when we went over to her house. There you go.
Okay.
I can hear the crickets.
In case you
so don't hate on the food out of those things, man.
John, would you be don't offended hate. If I edited that line out and just added cricket sounds?
That's fine.
It's completely true. Sorry. Those little coffee cakes are fucking delicious, man.
Okay. So, Cooking Mama 2. I made cookies.
And you stepped into a minefield, James. Just ignore us.
So the girl at the booth, she was wearing like an apron with Cooking Mama on it. That was kind of cute.
And nothing underneath.
It's TGS, not E3.
She was trying to tell me. She was explaining to me how to play the game, and because like I'm a foreign guy, she was attempting to say it in English. It made absolutely no sense whatsoever. she was like, she was holding the controller and showing me how to like to move it, like to how to like what was it like to mix the dough. And she was like, I didn't understand what she was saying, but I would just try to copy what she was doing. And it seemed to work.
So you couldn't be bothered to tell her that you speak Japanese because you were laughing at her so hard?
Exactly.
Maybe it was just cute watching her try to speak English.
Yeah. Exactly.
I'm sure it was.
I like to see their attempts. Because they usually speak like 50% Japanese when they're speaking English anyway, so I can usually understand what they're saying in the end. So it was kind of weird. Like the recognition for like some of the controls were kind of weird. Like they didn't seem to register. So I like failed like the first few sections of making the cookies, like mixing it and putting the stuff in the bowl. Like I just couldn't get it to register. It was really annoying. Like I was doing it again and again, and the girl was like telling me how to do it, and I was like, I'm doing it and it's not doing it. So I was kind of frustrated
by
that.
Sounds promising.
Yeah.
This game sounds like something I can't wait to play.
Take us to a game that's the total opposite of Cooking Mama, please.
Okay, then we have Gardening Mama for the DS.
No, that's not the complete opposite.
Yes!
Owned. There we go.
I am owned.
What's the opposite of cooking? Gardening, right?
Killing?
Uncooking?
Gardening is the precursor to cooking, not the opposite.
Gardening Mama, the precursor legacy?
Yeah. Anyway, I liked Gardening Mama. That's all I'll say. And the gift that they gave you for playing Gardening Mama was awesome. They gave you this, like, it was like a little bento box, like a little lunch box. And inside it had, like vegetables and a fork and a spoon, but they were all erasers, but they looked like real things, like real food, but they were all erasers inside this little lunchbox. It was really cool. I think I've got a picture of it if you go to the TGS like event and then look at the event photos, I think I've got one on there. You should check it out.
Okay, well, James, we're kind of running out of time here, so okay. Why don't you pick out, say, like three more games that you still have on your list, and
okay.
And that'll be the end of it.
And I'll then skip. Don't talk about them. Talk about something else entirely.
And then we can talk about Easy Bake Ovens.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Welcome to Nintendo World Report's own Radio Free Nintendo. Easy
if
Bake
you're
going to
talk about Cooking Mama, you know, I'm going to bring up some other shit, so...
Okay, I'll skip Castlevania Judgment, because that wasn't that good.
Because we're all going to skip it when it comes out to stores.
Oh, zing. And I'll skip Hula Wii, which is a hula hoop training game.
Are you shitting me?
Also known as 1% of Wii Fit.
Yeah, they made a whole game out of it.
It's about time.
It probably cost a hell of a lot
or
less.
Or what passes for a whole game on the Wii.
Yeah, but it's got full motion video of hula dances.
Perfect.
In Hawaii.
Got.
Oh, Lord.
Sold.
Blue Ocean.
Done. 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 I'm okay. Begging you. Get us a new copy of this game.
I'll do my best.
I'll try.
We want our video review.
Oh, God.
Oh, God. The guy playing it, the guy demoing it, was wearing, like, a Hawaiian shirt, and he was, like, really going at it with the motions, like,
oh my God.
Waving his hips around and, like, you know, moving his, like...
I'm picturing body. Carmine playing Wii Cheer at E3. Oh, God. It's bad.
Okay, we'll skip that. And Tetris World Party. Have you talked about that before?
No, that's the WiiWare one, right?
That's the WiiWare one. That was pretty good. They didn't have the balance board. I really wanted to play the balance board mode. And yeah. I specifically asked if I could play that, but they didn't have that set up at the booth. Because I really want to know how the hell that controls.
Yeah.
That's a good question.
Yeah. They didn't have that. They just had regular.
I think you lean left and right to move the piece, and then you lift one foot or the other to rotate, and then you kind of squat to push it down. Seriously.
That sounds like a toilet training workout.
Yeah.
Toilet training game.
Yeah!
You squat, and then the blocks fall out.
Blue Ocean.
Yeah.
Blue Ocean.
Yeah, I'm really hoping the next Groovin' Blocks can be played with balance board.
Groovin' it's called Blocks. Shitting Bricks.
You are a genius. Copyright that shit right now.
Done.
Copyright Nintendo World Report.
There you go.
You know, this is what WiiWare is all about, James. You can take your own idea and make it a reality.
Shitting Blocks. Only 1,000 Wii points. Available
shitting
today.
Bricks. Shitting. That is fucking genius. Oh my God.
Okay, so the last game I'll say, which I liked, was Tenchu 4 for the Wii.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I liked that. It was really good. They had some really nice effects going on. They had, like, it was, you know, it's based in, like, obviously, like, old
Canada.
Olden days Japan, right? And... They had like
space where John
house.
Came from.
Inside the house that you had to like infiltrate, they had like this really nice reflection on the floor. It looked like real like wood grain with like a reflection which reflected everything in the environment in the floor. It was really impressive. And the character model was pretty good. But the controls, I mean, they kind of worked, but like for example, I fell down this little like crevice, and I couldn't work out how the hell to jump. And because I was looking at the control page, like they gave me one, it was in Japanese, but I was trying to like read through it, and I couldn't find anywhere to jump. Like which button jumps? I was like stuck in this little hole, and I was like I couldn't get out. And then
ninjas actually can't jump.
Yeah,
little known fact.
Once you fall down, you just can't go out. You have to restart the game or something.
What?
Right.
But. Apparently, it was actually, you had to flick the Wii remote upwards to jump. I didn't...
Oh, it's like the block.
Oh, that wouldn't get annoying. Ever.
Yeah. But jumping isn't, like, a vital part of the game, so I don't think that would be annoying. But it took me a while to work that out. So you had to, like, in the demo, you had to, like, go... You had to kill a few guys, like, sneaking through some bushes, and then... like stab a few people through the side of their rib cage and then break their necks, and then you climbed up into the like the rafters, like the above where the room is, and you had to like balance along it and then go above this guy and break his neck, and that was the end of the demo.
Just like going up in Canada, huh, John?
Yep, that's exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah, except he didn't break people's necks, he broke bears'
that's
necks.
That's right, at a hockey rink.
It's Tenchu Day of Crisis.
and he was out running an earthquake.
There wasn't any lava in this in Tenchu Fort.
Son of a bitch!
That's not like Canada, then.
That's you have to wait to the lava level. Then there'll be plenty of it.
So, yeah, the cutscenes were pretty good. Animation was pretty good. I think they had an English version there. I couldn't find it though. But apparently
that Nintendo will never let be released.
Yeah.
No, I think it'll come out. Nintendo published Tenchu DS in America, which is a pile.
Yeah.
So they'll definitely bring over the Wii version, especially if it's good.
Yeah, I noticed a few of the games there. They had an American version for like foreign visitors. Like they had that with Wii Ski and Snowboard. They had like an English version of that as well.
Oh, did you play that?
Yeah, I did. Is that worth talking about?
Oh, tell us about it real quick. Yeah, I think so. I'm a skier, so I'm very interested in it.
I didn't actually play the skiing version. I played the snowboarding one.
No, that's cool. That's cool.
So you can choose ski or snowboard at the beginning, and the guy at the booth kind of turned the balance board in the direction that you would need. And it was pretty responsive. I liked it, actually. It was kind of like... You lean exactly how you would on a snowboard, and it responded pretty much how it is in real life. I have snowboarded in real life, so I could relate to it. It controlled how I would expect a snowboarding game to control. So that was cool. I haven't played any other snowboarding games with the balance board, but so far this is the best.
Yeah. Well, Sean White has pretty good balance board controls too, but I'm a little more interested in the Wii Ski and snowboard like game design, because it's more like just open mountain, go do whatever you want, which is more like what real skiing is like. Whereas Sean White for Wii is more like it's more like a Tony Hawk like trick challenge thing, and they also have a lot of racing, so it's not as interesting to me. Yeah, well, that's good to hear that you liked it.
Yeah, there was some degree of waggle. Like for example, when you lose your balance, you had to like waggle the nunchuck and the Wii remote up and down together to like regain your balance, and you had to do it for like almost like 30 seconds for it to actually do anything. So like you would think like a snowboarding game, your arms wouldn't be tired by the end of it, but my arms were like knackered by the end of it. I was like,
wow,
I might as well have just played the skiing game. It was ridiculous. Like my forearms were like throbbing. I was like, damn. And also like to do the stunts, you had to waggle like in the air. Like
of course.
You had to jump and then waggle to do stunts. And you had to waggle if you were going to fall over. So there was quite a lot
waggling.
Of waggling.
Mm. That's disappointing.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe they'll adjust it.
Yeah, I would have preferred it if it was just using your feet for the snowboarding game.
Right. You would think.
It would make much more sense in that case than skiing.
Right. Yeah. Skiing, you would expect to be holding something in your hands. But for snowboarding, other than for doing tricks specifically, there's really no reason that you would have to use your hands to do anything in snowboarding.
Yeah. I saw people playing the ski version, and it was like a waggle fest. Like, people
nice.
Were, like, people were having, like, heart attacks.
Great.
It's real wee fit.
I saw this old guy. I saw this old guy clutching his chest to the right of me.
Oh wow. Okay, so I guess that's gonna have to wrap it up. It's been a pretty long show, so we're gonna have to cut you short a little bit. But thanks so much for being on the show and filling us in on this. And if we can work the schedule out, maybe we can have you back on sometime.
Yeah,
cool. Yeah, that'd be cool. If people don't people don't hate me, then I'll come back.
They put up with Johnny; it'll be fine.
Yeah,
I'm the most obnoxious of all, so I'm the low bar that you have to get over. Anyway, so we didn't have listener mail this week, but we'll definitely be back with it next week. We just had a special show, so we couldn't fit it in.
Two special shows.
Yes. So Anyway, please send your questions and comments. If you want to know more about one of the games James played, we'll try to get some info from him or, you know, whatever. Send those to rfn@nintendoworldreport.com. You can also send us your letters and tell us how much you missed Greg. I'm sure he really wanted to be on the show, but he'll be back next week, don't worry. In the meantime, this has been Johnny, John, James, and James, the J-Men, the J-Xs.
J-Crew.
And we're signing off until next week.
Later.
Later.
See ya.
Bye.
We're gonna still record though, right?
Don't stop.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Recording.
I told you.
I'm gonna go get a drink.
Son of a bitch.